On the show today, we have GSCU Consulting's Greg Stockdale talking about how small credit unions can turn the tide of consolidation. So check it out. Welcome to the show, and on today's program, we're talking a little smaller credit union trends going on here with Mr. Greg Stockdale from GSCU Consulting. How's it going, Greg?
Doing well. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us. But I saw this article in CU Journal a week or so ago, and you were included in many of the sources in there. And it was an article called How Small Credit Unions Can Turn the Tide of Consolidation. And this is just, it really piqued my interest. And what you had to say in there was certainly appropriate and timely. And so I wanted to get you on the show to talk about it a little bit. And just kind of to start off, what's your take on today's smaller credit union consolidation? Because it sounds like it's, you know, a blessing or a curse. You know, a lot of smaller credit unions, we're okay with being merged in, or some of the other ones are like, well, we're not so okay, but it happens anyway. So what's your take on all this?
Well, remember, we started out with about 25,000 credit unions.
Yeah.
Less than 6,000.
That's crazy.
So those that are still here have said no to everything, you know, no to mergers, no to this, no to, and they're still around because they say no. I've done a lot of consulting with some smaller credit unions, and quite frankly, those that are coming up now looking at mergers are usually because either the CEO left, the board of directors got tired, Everybody threw in the towel instead of saying it's a temporary situation. 9 times out of 10, a credit union gets in a temporary situation and they look at a long-term solution, which is a merger, Not realizing mergers are forever.
Yeah.
There are no unmergers. There's nobody that's ever said, oh, that was a huge mistake, let's cut it off, let's go back to wait. Ain't happening.
Oh,
once
wow.
You merge, you merge.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, reality sits in with the mergee at a later date when they find out that, oh, you know, you have to commute over 100 miles now to go report to your new position. And, you know, we always thought of ourselves as we.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're the merging credit union, you're still we. But if you're the mergee, you're no longer we, you're the you. You know, and incorporating that into the current organization is tenuous at best. I know credit union CEOs that are, you know, I carry around a couple resumes from credit union CEOs that are looking because they did do the merger thing.
Right.
And it's not what they thought it was. So they're looking for new work. Employees displaced, you know, it's a lot of good intentions,
right.
But unfortunately it wasn't thought through, or the board, you know, the board just bought a hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. Somebody came in, gave them a spiel, and they thought, oh yeah, that's a good deal. This is better for our members. You know, actually I've done consulting with some credit unions. I did a strategic plan, and one of the things was to get them, and this was a real tiny credit union, to bring them up on their technology. Well, I showed them what the hill was they had to climb,
right.
And they said, oh, that's interesting. We get it now. So we're going to go out and get merged because we don't want to climb the hill.
Oh, wow.
We just want to take it in. So
okay.
That may or may not, that's in the process of happening. So
okay.
That, I'm not too sure on how that's going to turn out for the mergee down the road, but for the members, you know, I mean, the majority of them are, we're going to get better services.
Right, right.
But they can do that on their own. You know, if they have an old data processor, they can upgrade the data processor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they're not collaborating, they go out and collaborate. The problem is most of the smallest of the small credit unions, the CEO is no more than an extra teller, an extra loan officer.
No doubt.
They're doing all the and they need to get away from that. And they have most of them have the capital, which is why they're looked at for merger.
Of course.
Because it's like, oh, ka-ching, we got this guy and we can pull in, you know, we can serve their members and we have all their capital and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if they would take that capital and invest it in doing what they need to do to enhance their services and stay relevant to their members, They would still be around. Because remember, the people that know you best are your current members.
Right.
If you go to another credit union, they don't know who you are. You're no different than an indirect auto loan at that point.
Right.
You show up and we're like, well, we brought this credit union in, but we really don't know who these folks are. And maybe they were the lender of last resort at the other credit union. And now they're, you know, they're looked at like, we don't want to touch them. Or, you know, what one credit union used to say, oh, that's no problem. We'll overlook that and keep on
exactly.
making loans because everybody pays us. the new credit union is going to look at it and go, no way, you're so far out of our risk. We're not touching that. And the members are left going, well, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A different set of rules.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that. There's the way the credit union operates. Mm-hmm. A lot of credit unions, you know, in the smaller shops, I don't have a secretary, never had a secretary. You want to call me up. We'll talk. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can change something in the office, mm-hmm. we'll do it. Or explain to you why we can't do it. You get to a really large credit union, you can't even talk to the CEO. You know, I have a complaint, and well, it's got to go up and down the ladder, what's their job? Squash.
Yeah.
Right? So that gets pretty ugly.
Well, you mentioned in the article there's a number of resources that smaller credit unions, there's a number of resources that are available to smaller credit unions. Can you name a few of these? Because you mentioned in there about, you know, collaborating on like core processing. I know there's a few credit unions out there that are sharing core processing systems now instead of sharing the cost, which is just a brilliant way of doing that. And that sounds like, and that just discussing that is just sounds like a no-brainer alone for these smaller credit unions to kind of collaborate and work together and cooperate, I guess, would be another
way. One of the things, for instance, we used to be with Westcorp way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the corporate bomb hit, we said, we're not going to capitalize another corporate. So we said, what do we do? Well, we have to go to the Fed. Well, we looked at it and we said, well, you know, we've never dealt with the Fed. So we talked to some of the other credit unions that were on our system, and I said, well, we dealt with the Fed for years. It's a piece of cake. You know, and we're like, well, it's a piece of cake for you. But, you know, anybody that put together a share draft program or a debit card and, you know, the losses roll up before you realize you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So we said, not so good. So this other credit union is doing our back office. This is the credit union I just left. Mm-hmm. They were doing our back office work. They're over 1,000 miles away from us. And they do our Fed interface.
Oh, really?
Through our data processor, they're able to log on as an employee of our credit union.
Yeah.
And do everything that any employee would do if they're sitting across the room for you, mm-hmm. except they're 1,000 miles away.
That's cool.
All the controls are in there. So my credit union basically had a staff, an effective staff of over 8,000 people.
Oh.
Any credit union employee in any on that data processor nationwide mm-hmm. could log onto our system, and they could be the loan officer, the back office, the phone teller, whatever you want to do, mm-hmm. they can log on, look at it, just like an employee on the other side of the room.
Wow, that's pretty.
Yeah, and a lot of credit union data processors don't support that.
Huh.
So, you know, I mean, that's. What we did is when we were looking for a data processor, we said, you know, we took the Wayne Gretzky approach. Where's the puck going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where we went to. And we said collaboration is the way of the future, and especially for small credit unions, mm-hmm. it's imperative. Because you have to act bigger than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that is get some help.
Exactly. That's the beauty of our industry too, is that we can share, we can collaborate. Right. Sure, there's a few out there that are cooperation, I guess is the word.
Yeah, cooperation. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but by and large, you know, this is, you know, what shared branching is all about. I mean, we're sharing stuff and we're sharing information to make, you know, each institution that much better. So yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Yep. The NCOA. It's looking, I think NCOA pushes the credit unions the wrong way. They all say you have to control expenses. Well, the problem is with the rates as low as they are, you need non-interest income. And the credit unions have been crushed to the point because most of the smaller ones say, oh yeah, we're going to feed our member. We'll never feed them. And now we introduce fees and they all flock away, even mm-hmm. though they're going to feed more where they go to. So they're fee adverse. So they don't have much of a margin to start with.
Right.
And then they end up, you know, really working tight. Well, they've already cut staff. They put people part-time.
Yeah.
They've cut everything that they possibly can. Cutting is not the answer. You need to increase income. You need to increase your non-interest income or find ways to get into lending that you weren't into before, like indirect lending. Mm-hmm. If you don't know indirect lending, find somebody that does and they'll walk you through it.
Right.
Or do loan participations. You know, if the only way to get your loan volume up is you can't get it through your current members, you may have to go out there and buy some loans.
Hmm.
That's not a bad product. The NCOA does not like it when you go out on the yield curve and have interest rate risks. They're not too wild about that. In fact, they're pretty adamantly against that.
Oh.
But if you, Well, yeah, because remember, since 09, rates are going up any day now.
Yeah.
We're still
since
waiting.
Since 09, yeah.
Yeah, 09. We're still waiting. It's exactly. Like, come on, really? We're going to go up in rates anytime now? And we've pumped all this money in the economy, and it's operating at GDP's at what, 0.05 or something, or 0.5?
Mm-hmm.
That's not operating. That's just in an idle.
Right.
We've got all this, you know, all this push into it, and nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if they think rates are going to go up instantly because the economy all of a sudden is going to take off, what's been holding it back? And it just isn't there.
Right.
It's not going to go.
Right.
So I think a lot of Canadians got in the, oh, rates are going to go up tomorrow, so you know I'll worry about this while this is happening,
yeah.
And it never comes.
Yeah.
And then they go on to other things, and they go, why are we, you know, we're doing all this, but why isn't it working? Well, remember that rate thing that was supposed to go on? It didn't help. And rates up would help credit unions. Actually, that would help our margins.
Mm-hmm.
Because loan rates are down, like auto loans are down in the, what, 1.45 or something?
Something like that,
the paying point. You know, 0.25 on savings, that's not, we used to have spreads of 5. That's not even 1.
You know? Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So, yeah, there's no money to be made. And
right.
So we're looking for rates to go up, and they haven't. So rates up would be a good thing if it happened. But in the meantime, you got to do something. What got us here isn't going to get us forward.
Yeah.
Our members that got us here aren't the members that are going to get us here in the future. The members that most, you look on the books of most credit unions, the members that are there now are like me, they're baby boomers. We're not savers now. We're not borrowers. We're not
the
economic engine.
Yeah, you're out of that engine. Period of your life. You're right, right.
Yeah. We're not the economic engine any longer. So if your model is, well, we serve our current members and your current members all look like me, well, you're going to have a problem. You know, because we're not borrowing. We're not turning it up, you know,
exactly.
and we're the guys that are like, what's the rate on your savings? Oh, I'm moving.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what's this? I'm out of here. You know, I got to go get, you know, I got to go get 1% instead of 0.02, you know, I got to maximize my income.
Yeah.
But what is that? That's nothing. I mean, if you think about it, in the old days, when you got 3% and 4% just on your regular share.
Oh my gosh, the old days. Oh my gosh. You were
Yeah. So those are gone.
Crazy numbers back then.
Well, and the competition's going to make them stay disappeared. That's not coming back. That's not just like the jobs that we lost through the tech bubble. Those aren't coming back.
Right.
You know, we're going to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We have to have a different group of people. What the folks that got you here aren't going to be what gets you forward.
Right, exactly. Great message. So you mentioned a few things here. Controlling expenses, we talked about that. Remaining relevant, we all kind of know that story. But you also mentioned here how to increase membership. How does a smaller credit union increase membership? Because the larger, we've all seen the headlines and stuff. Yeah, credit unions are growing by 800,000 in the last quarter or something like that. Or, you know, we're over 100 million, et cetera, et cetera. But the smaller credit unions they're not gaining membership. It's all the bigger ones that are gaining membership. Actually, the smaller ones are shrinking by a small margin. But so how do they get out there and increase their membership? How do they reverse those numbers?
Okay, well, if we take the mergers out of the membership growth, how much growth is there really?
Bada boom.
You know,
yeah.
If your membership growth is you took my credit union over.
Yeah.
Did you really grow?
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. The industry really grow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then, you know, they go, oh, there's, you know, 100 million accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many have 5 different credit unions that they belong to?
Right. Right.
So are we really gaining?
Okay.
One of the things I always look at, especially in the larger credit unions and even the smaller ones, is what percentage of your current membership are you serving? If you're only serving 5%, why are you going to spend a whole bunch of money to go, you know, bring in one or two new members?
Mm-hmm.
Why not spend the money on the members that you currently have?
Yeah.
Get their family members, you know, promote the family membership. I know credit unions for years that promoted that were 3 times bigger than their original field of membership. And this was before the membership changed.
Right.
Because they promoted family membership from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You get your kids to join. They're a member for life.
Mm-hmm.
The kids get people to... And, you know, people, and it goes on and on and on. But that's not an overnight thing. Most credit unions, unfortunately, look at the economy and the way we are, and they go, I need a quick fix. Well, it's you're not in the drag race. You're more like the tortoise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to be crunking along here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take a while to get that back.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
It's hard. There's no, you know, there's no panacea. There's no easy fix. There's no... You know, you hit the magic, hit the simple button.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, there isn't there. There is no simple button. You know, it's not their easy button or what that is. Yeah, there's no quick way to get there. It's just long, hard work. But some of it is your structure. A small credit union usually has more capital than the larger ones. They run on a very thin margin.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not a margin, but on a capital. So they're usually running 8-9% capital.
Mm-hmm.
The small credit unions are running 15-20% capital because they don't have services. And in the old days, you know, you're just making money hand over fist.
Right.
And it's still sitting there.
Right.
So they need to utilize that capital. If the CEO is sitting there and going, I'm the extra teller, or I'm the, you know, backup loan officer,
mm-hmm.
you need to spend some of that capital. Get somebody to come in and help you do the operation so you can spend the time.
Yeah.
What most CEOs in the smaller shops, and I've been there,
yeah.
you walk in, you know, oh, Susie's not coming in today. The share drafts didn't post right, and the examiner wants something.
Man.
And then you go, oh, yeah, and we're supposed to grow. And they're like, really? You know, when I get all these fires put out, I got nothing.
And then your day's done.
yeah. And you look up and you go, well, that was a fun day.
Yeah.
So like I always told the staff, come in early, stay late. there's no magic to it. You either get in and get it done before the wind moving machine gets going, or, you know, stay later and do it. So
you're saying is like use that capital to bring in.
Exactly.
A specialist, so to speak. You
bring
know?
In somebody on like myself, bring in somebody on a short term. Come in and say, hey, we don't understand the investing. So bring in somebody like myself, help them with their investing, give them the ins and outs, mm-hmm. give them the options. We've been there, show them how to do it, okay. how to stay compliant. What are some of the rules and regulations that go with it?
Yeah.
So that when NCUA comes in and says, oh my gosh, you went long. Duh. <You know? laughs> Yeah, we did, you know, on purpose, and we can afford it. Partly because we have the capital and partly because we need the income.
Right, right.
You know, unfortunately, right now, it's not the best time to go long.
True.
You know, the rates are down now so low, you can actually do better with something like a loan participation. Even the dust bonds, which was, you know, a loan. It's an agency, but it looks like a real estate loan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You
know, principal and interest instead of all one lump sum. Mm-hmm. Those rates are now below 2%.
Goodness.
So you're not, and you're talking 7 years. So you're not even being rewarded for taking that kind of risk. So you have to look out and say, okay, loan participations. I don't understand loan participation. Fine, call somebody up that does.
Yeah.
My credit union's done like 14 loan participations. So you want to know the ins and outs of loan participation? I can share that with you, mm-hmm. no problem. I can make you comfortable with it, you know, or a mentor can make you comfortable with it. I'm not the only guy out there that's ever done them. But, you know, I mean, you can learn how to do loan participations and comfortably do them. Have the policies, you know. It's credit union R&D, rip off and duplicate. So we go in and we say, oh, one of the nice parts about a loan participation is you have to do due diligence. So I need to know your policies, your call report. Yeah. I go in and look at all that. Well, I get your loan policies and I look at it and I go, hey, look at this. Look what they're doing. We need to do that too.
Yeah, why not?
And yeah, so we look at their loan policies and go, hey, yeah, I like that. That's a good approach. A lot of credit unions do lending the way they used to. You know, Rex Johnson's a great guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's okay, always 10 years ahead of everybody. Rex came out with risk-based pricing and everybody was one rate for everybody. And, oh, you know, that was just anathema. Nobody was going to do risk-based pricing. And then now everybody does it. And then in the old days, everybody said, oh, if you have a ding on your credit report, you have to get that fixed before we'll make you the loan. You've got to, you know, get all those marks off your report. And that's the way we operated because, you know, that's the way we were in the past. Well, I'm not going to give you new money if you're not paying the other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now Rex Johnson's thing, and when it first came out, everybody freaked out. But Rex says, I'm not a collection agency for other creditors. If you don't want to pay that bill, don't pay the bill.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't affect your ability to repay the loan, I don't care if you pay the bill or not. But I'm not going to give you the lowest interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why you're being charged a higher interest rate, and it's up to you, member, to decide, do you want to pay off that prior bill or not? If you don't choose to pay them off, the loan rate stays high. We're like, oh, we have to get to the members at a low rate. Okay. And you wonder why you'd have that bottom line. You know, let's see. We took all the loans that should have been at 13%. We put them at 2% and wonder why we got issues.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt. Oh, my gosh. Great. We could go on and on. What's that? Oh, yeah, it's my video bomber.
There you go.
Hey.
I was waiting for my dog to come photobomb.
Well, I got the dogs outside the window, the, you know,
there you
the
go.
Wonders of working from home. So I just kind of wrap up here. You say in the article that, hang on a second here, you say that smaller creatines cannot ignore financial realities. Can you expand on this just to kind of wrap up? Because I think we touched on it in your last response.
Well, yeah, the margin being mm-hmm. so short, the financial reality. I mean, competition isn't going away. It's become more world competition. People, you know, in the old days, people would say, oh, let's go down the credit union. I want to get a car. Let's go down the credit union and see what they're offering.
Right, right.
It's the last time anybody ever said that.
Yeah.
You know, go to the credit union. Are you kidding?
Exactly.
Go to the credit union. I bang on the keys, you know. Oh, I got that. Or I go into the dealership mm-hmm. over the weekend. And he comes back and he says, oh, or they come back, not he, but they come back and they go, oh, you have great credit. We'll get you 0% financing and, you know, dot, 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 and we'll give you so much on your trade-in. Mm-hmm. And, oh, smell that leather. And the next thing you know, you're driving home going, what did I just do?
Did I just buy this? Yeah.
This is great until, what were those payments?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. When that 30 days
And then
up.
They call the credit union. Can you help me?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you'd have called me before you finished the deal, here's what credit unions shine. And the smaller ones, I think, do the better job. We had a member that went into a dealer and he bought a Yaris for like $15,000. Well, a Yaris is maybe a $7,000-$8,000 car. They added on GPS, low jack, you know, everything.
That's where they make the money.
Warranties. Yeah. We're in California. I think they even undercoated it or something. Like, what, are you going to drive on the beach? So where are you going to find salt in California? So he came in and he wanted to make a withdrawal to make a deposit on that loan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, well, sure, show us the application, you know, show us what you bought. And he brought it out and we looked at it and we said, oh, my gosh. So we called the dealer and we said, first, we're going to finance them here at about half the interest rate. And by the way, we're canceling GAP, we're canceling MBI, we're canceling LoJack, we're canceling the extended warranty. And they go, well, you can't tell us what to buy and sell. And I go, no, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to argue with you on the price you paid for the car. I don't think that was the right price, mm-hmm. but you know, he's already got it and he's stuck with that.
Right.
But everything else we can eliminate, we're eliminating. Member for life, you know, one of those.
Awesome.
That's where small credit, you know, and the other credit unions like, oh, it doesn't meet the underwriting, you know, I don't have time for them.
Right.
Not that large credit unions do that as a.
I like that example.
I don't need the hate mail. Thank you.
No. I mean, it's an example of, you know, we're looking out for you type of thing. Right. You know. So.
But we almost do that too much. You know, we it's like no, if just like in the credit. It's up to the member to take responsibility at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I know credit unions that said, oh, we're not going to do overdraft because we don't think it's a good thing. Well, what you think is irrelevant. You're serving a member, and I know members that literally say, that's how we manage our household. If you don't give us the overdraft protection, I'm going someplace that can. Because my wife wants to get what she wants, mm-hmm. and we don't care if it bounces the account, and I get what I want. And we have the money that we're going to take care of it. Right. That's how we do business.
Right.
Well, it's not my way of doing business. Okay. That's how they do it.
Okay.
And they said, if you stop, we're going somewhere that will. Okay, I'm turning down, what, $700-$800 a year or more? No, mm-hmm. I'll take the money.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to look at it from the member's point of view.
Okay.
And I think the biggest thing the credit unions, you know, we looked at who got us here, not who's coming up the pipe.
Mm-hmm. And
really need to be focusing on that. Because most credit unions that I've seen in the smaller shops, their loan volume's dropping off because they're not finding a way to stay relevant to the members. They're not out there, hey, we need to get top of mind. We need to get in front of you on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they're waiting for the members to come to them. You need to reach out to them.
Yeah, you got
to
be totally proactive in that. Totally.
Yeah. And you need to find ways to get NCUA off your back.
Yeah, that too. That's another story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there are ways to do that properly to keep them at bay. But, you know, the smaller credit union, NCUA does not seem to have a proclivity to keep them around. So you're able to do whatever you want to until your capital falls too small.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, knock, knock. Yeah, we need you to merge.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're thinking about it. It's like, no, we're going to.
You got to do it.
Administrative action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not comfortable, but you got to do what you got to do. And you know, the hardest part is the CEOs that have been there a long time, or the board that's been there a long time, and they have a particular way of doing business. And then say they do retire and they bring in a new CEO.
Yeah.
And then you find out, oh, that credit union actually was the lender of last resort. Members, they kind of overran the credit union and what they wanted and what they did.
So. Oh, gosh. No, no. Sorry about that. Sorry.
That's okay.
All right, Greg.
Your grandson's not here. He'd be banging on the keys.
Oh, I know. I'm trying. This is what happens when I don't lock my door. I totally forgot to lock it. So,
well, life design, that's important, though.
Indeed. Oh yeah, it's always fun. It's totally fun. So, anywho, well, Greg, thank you so much for taking time out to chat with us. I appreciate it, and this information is awesome. So, let's get you back on too. I mean, this is a topic that ain't going away anytime soon either. So,
no, it's
good to have a resource like you to. And your experience as well is pretty valuable. So we like to have you back on as well.
Super.
All right. Cool, Greg. Thanks again. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right.